Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Wrath of the Oceans podcast. We're two Gen X friends who chat about fantasy, horror, and science fiction books, movies, and streaming shows. We also interview some amazing authors and independent directors. I'm Ron, and I'm at the 2023 Seattle International Film Festival. This is episode 73. I was able to meet with Justin Robert Vinal, the director of the hypnotic short film From the Depths. We met at the Grand Hyatt Hotel press suite arranged by the SIFF press team. Hey, this is Ron, and I'm at Seattle International Film Festival with Justin Robert Vinal. We're here to talk about his incredible film, From the Depths. Justin, welcome to Seattle.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate you letting me be on the podcast here today.
Hey, we connected over social media at first, and we even texted each other. It looks, I won't tell anyone your phone number, but it looks like you're a local guy.
Yes, sir. I'm born and raised. I grew up in Everett, Washington, and then lived in Seattle for the last 10 years or so now.
Well, that's wonderful, because then I hope to reconnect with you in the future as well, because I absolutely love From the Depths. Before we get started on it, why don't you give our listening audience a summary of From the Depths?
Yeah, From the Depths follows this couple that are dealing with a kind of inner turmoil, depression of various forms. One's a bit more anxiety-based and the other is a bit more spiraling further into kind of grander darkness. And as they're trying to grapple with trying to be with each other and explore the relationship, there's a call that happens to draw our main character out to this lake house dock. And as he goes closer to the dock in the water, the siren appears in front of him and tries to lure him into the water and give him a place where he can find comfort while spiraling further into greater darkness.
Can you mention the names of the leads?
Yeah, so our leads are Giovanni Assatella and Allegra Sweeney and Rebecca Rose. Rebecca plays the siren, Allegra plays Jennifer, our female lead, and Giovanni plays Ethan, our male lead in the film, and just all terrific, wonderful actors.
I'm really impressed by the acting and directing style you have for Allegra and Giovanni, because they're conveying a lot through nonverbal communication. I have to admit, when the film first started, I thought, did the world end? And things seemed a little dire. Giovanni definitely shows a tenderness towards Allegra's character, and Allegra does the same for Giovanni. So you feel like, okay, things are in an okay place, but I'll get to the sound design later, but you start to realize things aren't quite right either. And when Rebecca, the siren, appears, she's not some ordinary siren either. Can you describe your vision of this siren? Because it's not the one that we see in The Odyssey where we're drawn to it. There's something a little scary about this.
Yeah, no, totally. So the intention with this horror film was it's a drama first, a horror second. So the idea was we wanted to have attributes of what you would typically see from a siren, like the singing elements and the tail and the mermaid quality of it all. But we wanted to stray away from the fantastical elements. So we didn't want to make her blue fangs right away. We want her to be very classical and earthly and part of nature. So the most that we've done with her is we gave her deep black sunken eyes, and then there were some prosthetics that we did. Instead of doing like seashells, we made it part of like this gill-based prosthetic that we had on her as well. And we wanted to retain some kind of like realism with the look of the siren in this film.
Last year, we interviewed an author named Nina Nesseth, who wrote a book called Nightmare Fuel, and she writes about various aspects of horror movies. And she told us that she liked to watch horror movies with headphones on. So since I was watching on Vimeo, and I actually did stream it to my larger screen, but I did have headphones on, I absolutely enjoyed the sound design of the film. It was a very intense experience. Again, the actors themselves convey a lot through nonverbal communication, but when you get some of those sounds, discordance of some sort, and it's intriguing when it happens, it actually starts overlapping on some of the dialogue.
Yeah. Is there anything I can do?
Can you talk to me about the sound design of From the Depths and how it conveys the emotions and the actions that you want to show?
So when I was writing the script and we were getting things sorted out, one of my go-to post sound mixers, his name is Brian Sloss, and we've done two or three projects together and just have a really good rapport with each other. And the intention was, if I'm not able to get Rebecca as a siren, I can't get Brian on board as our sound mixer, then I don't think we can carry on with the film, just because there is so much weight and heaviness that comes with both those roles, and in particular with the sound design, because again, the performances and the body language and the emotion that the actors convey, that helps a lot. But then tying the room together with the sound design was so critical. So a lot of the sound design in the film is elongated, distorted, and stretched out sound mixes of different ADR pieces we did with Rebecca as a siren. The whole film, like all the rumbles and all the kind of thunderstorm crackling qualities come from different things that Rebecca was doing for us. And then we had nature elements in there. So there's like moments where you hear a sense of an iceberg cracking, and we would pull stuff from all around the world that was like more nature-based and something that would evoke the feelings of perpetual dread. And yeah, it was a long and very creative process with me and Brian on that. And he was just over the moon with it. And especially like how we utilize sound with the siren later on, removing how the film plays so much with sounds like rumbling throughout. And then once we have the siren come into play, we want the siren's voice to be so distinct and so clear cut that it cuts through all the noise and removes all sound. And I think that helps the quality of how scary and unsettling the siren character is.
That's a good point. And I loved hearing about your creative process for the sound design. And I should point out too, even though you have these discordant sounds that occur when Allegra and Giovanni are speaking, the moment when the siren appears, when you first hear her, and Giovanni goes out to a dock and she appears. But even the sounds of like the water and the stillness, the way even created such a realistic but surrealistic atmosphere together was incredible to me. Can you tell me a little more? Did that come with the creative process, or did you just do that on the fly as you're watching the film?
It's a mixture of both. The intention is that I think there comes a point with this type of film where you want to be very conscious of the themes of depression and anxiety and suicide in this film. And I want to be very conscious of kind of like the realism and the grounded nature of it all. But when you bring in like the siren element, the surrealism element, that also becomes something that morphs as you go and cut it and sound mixed. And I think, again, it's just one of those things where it's anytime that he was with the siren, it's one of those instances where the movie kind of elevates itself up into a different plane of, I guess, awareness for the character. It's almost dreamlike, but still grounded in some form of reality. It was definitely like a balancing act of making sure that the film didn't get too far into fantastical, but being somewhat off with how bizarre it does get from time to time.
I thought it was an amazing scene because, again, I'm watching it late at night with headphones on, all lights off, and it feels like I'm in a dream, but that scene with the siren, there's something that tells you, no, this isn't a dream. This is really happening. And that's excellent how you convey that.
Yeah. Yeah. I was that whole sequence. Like, so what was really like, I love doing everything with the film. Filming on the dock was very difficult because the dock is only so big, and we had, I think, 20 people on the dock all huddled up. And then there's a factor of making sure Rebecca, because at this point, it was the beginning of September. Yeah. So summer was still with us, but barely. And the nice thing about where we shot it at, it was Lake Sammamish is where we shot it at.
Really? Yeah, yeah. So, I was going to ask you that next, what the location is. Yeah. And obviously, I've been to Lake Sammamish many times. I live on that side of Seattle. Like, I'm still Kwame, but I go to Lake Sammamish often.
Yeah, we got lucky with that location big time. And the nice thing about that location, because it's a lake and it's just pocket up, like the water is still relatively warm. It's cold, but it could be colder if we were like filming. I don't know, I think we looked at Gig Harbor at one point and that was going to be, again, like I think if we had filmed in Gig Harbor, it would have been colder for the actress. But Rebecca was a trooper all the way through. And definitely the most difficult stuff for the filming process was more technical elements with filming on the dock and the siren. A lot of just like technical juggling while trying to battle through all the emotional content that's there.
Definitely kudos to Rebecca and her performance, because I think it's very difficult to convey this seduction aspect and yet look like you're unsettling. And when the siren first appears, again, it's a disturbing moment. Her voice and her actions and her nonverbal acting really shine through, because you as the audience think to yourself, hey, water does look warm. I'd like to join her.
I'd worked with Rebecca before in a previous project and I've known her for years. She does a lot of cosplay and has like a big following on Instagram. Oh. She has experience like working with a lot of attire and makeup and whatnot. And so it was a no-brainer to ask her to come back and work on this project. And she was all game for it and was very creatively involved with like how the siren was going to look and like how we're going to do her hair and how she rises and all this sort of stuff. She was really game all the way through. Yeah, she was great.
Really, in the past several days, I've come to realize the path that an independent director needs to do in order to get something to be created, a feature film. For example, I interviewed a few gentlemen yesterday where, you know, they have a great short film. They're telling me if we can make this a feature, we may not end up being in the feature itself. We would love to get there, but so I started realizing how difficult a path this can be sometimes. Is that a path that you want to take for yourself to get to feature films?
Yeah, I feel this is also a struggle with this film too, because, you know, my films have roughly gone from like 10 to 12 minutes and have stayed in that area. But the last couple of films have gone up to 15, 17 minutes. This is 20 minutes. We cut it down from a 25 minute film. And at first I was like, I don't know if we can cut this down anymore. And it came down to the idea of, I would rather sacrifice getting into festivals than lose the quality of the performances and themes of the film. That was something that I was very conscious of with this film. And I think as I continue to move forward, I'm definitely like wanting to explore more of these themes in the feature length version and really delve into more of a lot of potential storytelling elements that a short film only has so much time and limiting room for. Thankfully, the pacing for this film feels good and you're in and out. But again, it's like there's so much more you could do and explore in like a feature length version of this, or really just anything that like of themes like this that you could explore.
It seems to me that content is king right now. And I don't know if streaming services will keep growing, or and we have these very specific streaming services like Shudder, for example. And so I'm hoping that this becomes an avenue for most independent directors.
Yeah, I would hope so too. Because again, like I think as technology and availability becomes more and more of a reality, I think it comes down to now where your film ends up at. Because I think there's a streaming service called Dust where a lot of science fiction, like horror films go to. There's a short film that played here a couple of years ago called Prospect. It was a short film that went to Dust and I think eventually became a feature. And I think that was a really good example of a short film proof of concept that grew and evolved through streaming service and was able to explore its own storytelling elements further in a feature length version. And with the inclusion of YouTube, and I think as long as there is an audience there that is interested in that, in those short stories, are interested in that filmmaker or that storyteller, I think there is definitely a lot more possibilities. And I think even with the kind of upheaval, I guess, broadness of live streaming too, with Twitch, there's so many places to look at for lack of a better word, content. So there's, I think, a lot of opportunities. And you want to be a project that hooks right away and is able to hold, grip the viewer's attention as long as possible.
I agree. I think you're in a good place. The other aspect I wanted to touch upon with the film is the cinematography of From the Depths.
It's breathtaking. I
just loved looking at the film on its own. The sound design on top of that was just incredible. But It's a gorgeous looking film. Can you tell me more about the cinematography of From the Depths?
Yeah. So my director of photography, Kevin O'Donnell, he's been a longtime collaborator of mine. We worked on two films previously before this, and we just have this really good synergy. Instead of looking like at horror films as references for the films, we were looking at Three Colors Blue or like any Tarkovsky stuff, like Solaris was an example where it's like, we wanted to create this atmosphere of it's a warm place, but it feels cold. And between how we want to shoot their separation and their distance, like when he comes down for the first time from at the beginning of the movie, and there's like this kind of separation between them and distance. And he also had this lens called, I forget the exact name for it, but we called it a lens baby, which kind of distorts the vision around Gio's close-ups in particular. So like anytime he was really wrapped up in his head and we had the rumblings going on, we would throw on this lens baby and it would distorts the image around our lead character and add more anxiety and tension to the film. And again, just Kevin is such a marvelous DP and so easy to work with. I can't help but think of no one better than to collaborate with him. And the same goes for my gaffer, Matt Rush, who I've known and worked with for like over a decade. And the way he is able to meet our ideas and collaborate so well with us in terms of like how we want the warmth or the coldness of a room to feel, or even how we like lit the outside and how like it all feels like a black hole, but there's still this kind of warmth light in the distance that kind of hangs over Giovanni's character, or even how we like lights the siren and just try to keep her mysterious, but like also give her enough details that the viewers can recognize what we're looking at. So again, just like Kevin and Matt and that whole camera and the lighting team with this dynamite all top to bottom.
That's incredible. And it's really interesting you mentioned Three Colors. It's some of my favorite films. It's definitely in top 10 easily. And now that I'm thinking about it, there are certain moods that I think of, like Three Colors of Red in particular for me. That's my favorite one, but that's very sentimental, of course. But there are, yeah, it is a little reminiscent of From the Depths, those scenes where you're combining that quiet and then that sound design. So really excellent. But what I like is it's not obvious. I didn't think Three Colors right off the bat. In fact, I was thinking more David Lynch at the time. So,
oh yeah, there's definitely like echoes of like Lynch's like Blue Velvet in there. Even those like Twin Peaks: The Return there's some sensibilities with that.
You're right up my alley. In fact, we should be watching some of this stuff together. It's incredible. But although I mentioned David Lynch again, I didn't look at it and say, "Oh, he's doing David Lynch." I never thought that. I just thought the sound design is wonderful. I'm sure David Lynch is one of his influences, but this is not a copy of David Lynch. I want people to know that it's not a copy of Three Colors or David Lynch. You have a very unique sound design. So, you know, incredible job. Justin, what's next for you? What do you plan to do next? Any projects you have in the pipeline?
Yes, I've been toying around with this kind of vampire film. Very similar in like how we approach From the Depths, kind of something more grounded and touching on kind of themes of family trauma and regret and self-healing. So far, the story that I have it at in early stages is about this woman who's gone off the beaten path. She's in her own world and deteriorating in her own life. And she ends up afflicted with this vampire curse. And instead of becoming and embracing this vampire, she is on this revenge act of wanting to get back at her family, in particular her estranged sister. And as the film goes on, there's revelations that occur for her as she's deteriorating and how she learns more about herself and how she takes on regrets and accepts certain situations that was of her undoing and not anyone else's. And it's something that I'm toying with in terms of like self-healing.
First of all, that sounds incredible, and I would definitely love to watch that film when it's made and would love to interview you after it's released. But it is something I do think about as well. You mentioned Twin Peaks: The Return, and I've had a lot of friends who watch it who weren't the biggest Twin Peaks fans to begin with, but they're like, what did that mean? And like, there is a lot of themes about dealing with trauma. In fact, to me, it's very evident. Maybe because I am such a Twin Peaks fan. I live in Snoqualmie. I grew up on the East Coast, but I was in college when Twin Peaks came out, and it was very painful to watch Twin Peaks: The Return. And so I think to have works of art that deal with trauma in a way that's visual and impactful is extremely difficult. So I applaud you for trying to go down those themes. And that's, I think, From the Depths does show that, yeah, there's a horror element, you're right, but Giovanni Allegra's character are trying to get through something. We don't really know quite what happened. There's something interesting about watching that human struggle to get through some type of trauma.
And that's the basis of the film, is how do two characters that are dealing with depression, how do they grapple with it and how do they navigate through it? And Giovanni closes himself up and puts walls around him. And that's the whole kind of thing with the sound design, is that those rumblings are like walls that he's putting up more and more. And same with Allegra. Allegra, you know, she's picking at her nails and only intensifies more and more because they both kind of ball it up. And Allegra's more outspoken about how she goes about her anxiety and depression. Giovanni doesn't want to be more of a burden to that. So it's definitely like, when casting and going and exploring those themes, you wanted to be very conscious of the weight that's going with those, it's going with those characters and those themes.
Yeah, I think it's excellent.
Morning. Hey. How you doing? You.
Okay.
For our listeners, where can they go to see more of your work, Justin?
So right now, you can check out my work at vimeo.com/Vinal or Next Floor Entertainment on Vimeo or YouTube. We also are on social media, on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook as Next Floor Entertainment. And you'll find a plethora of our other work, which is more along the lines of like ironic Twilight Zone campy horror. But then you have From the Depths, which is a bit more of a mature kind of horror drama film.
And I'll leave links on our show notes for our listeners. From the Depths, one of my favorite films at Seattle International Film Festival. Our listeners, please go check out Justin's work. It's visionary, and I expect big things in the future soon. So Justin, it was a pleasure meeting you today.
Absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for the kind words. It means a lot. Thank you. Thank you.
And again, since you're local, maybe we can interview you in person again down the road.
Thank you again so much for the opportunity.
Thanks, Justin.